Hello and welcome to This Week in Oklahoma Politics. I'm your host, KOSU's Michael Cross, along with ACLU Oklahoma Executive Director Ryan Kiesel and Republican political consultant Neva Hill. Well, I want to get to the results of the primary on Tuesday, but first, the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, which covers Oklahoma, says state laws prohibiting couples of the same sex getting married are unconstitutional. And while this applies to Utah, Ryan, do we expect anything different for Oklahoma?
Absolutely not. And in fact, this does apply to Oklahoma. The decision has stayed. There is a case out of the Northern District of Oklahoma that the court considered at a very contemporaneous time to the Kitchen case that came out earlier this week. That case is called Bishop. We're recording this on Thursday morning, of course. The Bishop decision could come out anytime today or on Friday. This is a huge monumental decision and puts it in line to be one of the cases, if not combined with the Bishop case, that the Supreme Court considers on this issue. A couple of things that I think are important to note, that this the 10th Circuit found a fundamental right to marriage, which goes beyond the Windsor case in the United States Supreme Court and delivers a higher level of protection or scrutiny for gay and lesbian couples seeking to be married. But even under the equal protection analysis that the Supreme Court used in Windsor, again, the states were unable to proffer any rational reason why they should be allowed to discriminate against same-gender marriage.
Neva, what are your thoughts on the ruling?
Well, I mean, clearly, I mean, this is it is the first time that a federal appeals court has recognized the same-sex couples, as Ryan said. And I think that it sets up for an interesting continued battle, because the Utah Attorney General's office said the day after the opinion came down that they will initiate an appeal. So it is an ongoing debate and an ongoing give and take in the courts. And I think we still have a lot to see before it's over.
And certainly we could see it in the Supreme Court by this time next year.
Right.
Our decision from the Supreme Court.
I mean, and I think that, you know, we're one step closer to the point in this country, not just in the 10th Circuit, but nationwide, where at the state level and the federal level, loving couples can have access to the benefits and the protections afforded by marriage.
Now, late last week, the Journal Record broke a story concerning term-limited Republican Representative Don Arms from Southwest Oklahoma and the Department of Environmental Quality. The investigation found possible impropriety by Arms and two DEQ workers in cutting funding to the agency and undermining its leadership. Neva, what were your thoughts on this story?
Well, I mean, first of all, it was kind of one of the classic, what I would call a political expose. I mean, you had a fairly in-depth article, a lot of documents, a lot of research, certainly text messages, emails, direct quotes and comments from those that had been involved, either, you know, around the circumstances or even specifically some of them. And it is fascinating. And obviously, the state rep in question, term limited, going out of office. Don Arms did oversee the DEQ budget appropriations, and this allegation that there was a conspiracy or some attempt with either Representative Arms and others to team up with two DEQ staffers is the story as I have read it and interpreted it, to somehow gut the agency's funding. And I think it raises a lot of questions. You're talking $21 million in a budget that is at question here. But bigger than that, it's kind of the political intrigue of, you know, who's out to get who and why. And there was demotions involved. There were changes in the transfers involved with some of these employees. So it raises probably at the moment more questions than answers, but it certainly makes for a lot of political fodder in a hot summer season.
Now, Ryan, a lot of people are bringing up there was a possible affair, but that's not the real news. The real news is the fact that DEQ, which regulates our air, our water, could have been cut funding by basically disgruntled workers.
Absolutely. And first and foremost, Scott Carter is to be commended for his investigative reporting here. Scott has proven himself time and again to be one of the most indispensable investigative reporters out at the Capitol. And I think that this underscores the importance of the Open Records Act and holding our government accountable. And then beyond that, I think that this is an exhibit of why our budget process is broken. Most agencies were cut around 5.5%. DEQ, likely as a result of what Scott Carter uncovered here, was cut around 20%. And a lot of that money came out of hazardous waste cleanup funding that's no longer there. This happened at the last days of the legislative session during the budget process, where a handful of folks are involved in that. That's around the same time that the Terrell Leftwich debacle happened, if you'll recall back whenever there were some dealings that ended up with criminal convictions. So I think that what this says is that it's time to rethink our budget process so that we're not making these big last-minute decisions in a hurry at the end of a legislative session, often behind closed doors, with too few people looking at the final product.
Now let's look at Tuesday's election. Now, the state superintendent's race was one of the most shocking, as Republican challenger Joy Hoffmeister beat incumbent Janet Breese, who came in third and even avoided a runoff. Ryan, your thoughts on this?
I think that even though most political prognosticators were expecting Janet Breese to be in a difficult position going into this election, most were definitely surprised that she ended up in a third place and didn't even make a runoff. There wasn't even a runoff necessary, as you said. So I think that what it demonstrates is that if you're going to pick a lot of political battles, then you need to have some victories to show for it. And throughout her tenure as an incumbent, she picked a lot of battles and what brought a combative tone to the office, and I think drew lines in the sand between teachers, administrators, and parents in a way that made it very difficult for her to walk out of what may have been a difficult situation, but nevertheless able to walk into the election cycle making a case for another 4 years.
Neva, you and I were at OETA that night, and on Tuesday night. Were you surprised as well by this result?
I was surprised that there wasn't a runoff. I think everything trending up into the last weekend certainly indicated that that would be a likely prospect, and it just goes to show when those undecideds break, when you have the last-minute turnout and the shifting, that anything's possible. And so I think it is true. I mean, clearly we knew from day one that this was going to be the race to watch because there was such a divide. There was such a formidable opposition. And frankly, anytime you have someone who's reform-minded that comes in, has an agenda, and is willing to dig in and fight for the things that they believe in, there are going to be not only battle scars, but there's going to be a very heated campaign. And that's what ensued with Janet Breese and Joy Hoffmeister. The third person oftentimes in those kind of races winds up being the beneficiary of a lot of votes that just people get kind of tired of the give and take and the fight between the top two, and they either cast the vote for the third or don't cast their vote at all. And so it turned out to be, you know, a very interesting result with spending, frankly, at the end being pretty comparable. I mean, while, you know, I think many thought that Hoffmeister wouldn't be able to mount a campaign, there was the injection of IE money at the end that came in clearly to continue to hit the messages that Hoffmeister was trying to drive home, and clearly the result Tuesday, they were successful.
Yeah, I think a big takeaway, you know, this is, I've been saying all along that this election would be a referendum on whether teachers could actually deliver from that rally that they had at the Capitol. You know, they had 20,000 plus people out at the state Capitol. And I've said that unless you bring those numbers and that same intensity to the ballot box, that's all for nothing. And we saw that happen. We saw Democratic teachers re-registering as Republicans because they wanted to weigh in on that Republican primary. And so I think that in the next legislative cycle especially, but probably for the next election cycle, and throughout this general election, teachers and parents have made themselves a voice to be reckoned with.
So taking a look just real quickly at the Democratic side, we have a runoff between Freda Deskin and John Cox. Ryan, any thoughts on either of these opponents?
I think that now that most of the oxygen was sucked out of the room with that Republican primary. And so now you have, you know, two candidates, one of whom who has raised a lot of money and made some expenditures. And then you have Freda Deskin, who has a lot of big name supporters behind her. I think that it's going to be a lot about name ID and trying to build the case for why they will be the best candidate to take on Hoffmeister in the general election.
Neva, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think this will be it will be a ground game. When you have runoffs, as we always talk about, you have 50% drop off sometimes. So it is a time frame where there's not going to be much to drive voters to the polls on that ballot. So the folks are going to have to do a good job of identifying and turning out those that they know will go to the polls for them.
And I think both of them wanted Breese out of office, but they wanted to see Breese as their opponent.
And so now it's tougher now.
And so now that they have Joy Hoffmeister as their opponent in the general election, both of them have an uphill battle.
Very definitely.
The race to fill Senator Tom Coburn's seat took many by surprise as Congressman James Lankford avoided a runoff with former House Speaker T.W. Shannon. Neva Lankford is one of your clients. Were his people as surprised by this as the rest of us?
Well, I think certainly the big surprise and takeaway for everyone was a 23-point margin of victory. I mean, everything was trending in polls that were published and were out there in the last weekend. That momentum seemed to be moving toward Lankford's direction, and certainly I think when that happens, undecideds typically break toward the winner. So all things being considered, I think it certainly made for the prospect that everyone saw an opportunity for a win without a runoff. But you never know, again, till those votes are cast. So I think it had a lot to do with a strong grassroots ground game, which helped for turnout.
How much do you think negative ads, Ryan, had an impact on this?
Yeah, I think that they probably didn't have a huge impact except for one key point, and that was that it brought Tom Coburn into the race. You know, Dr. Coburn weighed in with a non-endorsement. It was this validator for James Lankford, and we saw that language appear in ads at the end of the campaign, where Lankford was using Dr. Coburn's remarks about his character and validating him as a conservative in Washington. I think that was huge, and I think that if the negative had any impact, drawing Dr. Coburn into the race was one that was critical to Shannon not being in the runoff. I think he just ran out of gas at the end. And when I say that, I mean former Speaker Shannon. I think he just ran out of gas. I think that if you look at the Coburn non-endorsement combined with the information about a potential investigation for campaign ethics violations that David Prater is talking about here in Oklahoma County, and then the lack of any distinguishing issues between the two candidates, just made it very difficult for Shannon to continue to capitalize on that initial momentum that he had early in the race.
I think there's another element that did not really come into play as much as some had thought would, and that is the Tea Party factor, this kind of emerging rift between the, quote, Tea Party faction or element of the Republican Party and the more establishment, quote, part of the party. And I think when you had Ted Cruz weigh in so strongly and Sarah Palin in their endorsements at the end, trying to galvanize that faction, it did not appear to take hold. And I think the other thing is they were hoping to replicate, clearly, the Cruz replicate a win like they had in Nebraska with Sass. And so mm-hmm. I think it didn't materialize, because what we found is Oklahomans are going to take a strong look, particularly in primaries and Republican primaries, at the folks. They're not going to be persuaded by what outside groups and outside individuals so much are saying, even though both Lankford and Shannon had folks that were voices from the outside as well as in state.
Now, Ted Cruz is sending James Lankford a fruit basket, I'm sure, you know, trying to make peace with what is eventually going to be his new colleague.
And
so,
got to be an ally.
An ally.
And someone who's clearly ramping up to run for the presidential nomination.
Yeah. Right. So. Yeah, I think that the negative ads that attacked Lankford as somebody who wasn't a conservative, I just don't think Oklahomans bought that. I mean, you've got one of the most conservative members in Congress at a time when Congress is at its most, when Republicans in Congress at their most conservative moment in over 100 years. So to look at these ads that attacked Lankford, I just don't think anybody bought it. Now, Neva, I know that you work for the soon-to-be Senator Lankford, if all indications are correct. If I have any advice to give to his campaign, it's put the guy in a bunker and don't let him talk to the media until November, because the only thing that he can do at this point is to say something.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you his phone number, Ryan,
okay,
and you give him that call.
Yeah, just stay in a bunker, don't say anything, run some nice puff piece ads, because the only thing that he can do at this point is lose the race.
Now, we do have to talk about the Democratic side. State Senator Connie Johnson is facing an August runoff against perennial candidate Jim Rogers. Ryan, what are your thoughts on these candidates?
Yeah, I think that it's not a surprise that we ended up on a runoff here. I think Senator Johnson is going to run a solid campaign in the runoff, and she'll likely end up as the general election nominee and opponent to James Lankford. Again, as much as I have a lot of respect for Senator Johnson, without a significant influx of money and I think some major mistakes on Lankford's campaign's part, it's going to be difficult to see her winning in November.
What is the plan going into either of these candidates coming into November?
Well, I mean, obviously, you mount a fall campaign. I don't think anyone takes an election for granted. So there will be a full campaign to make sure that the voters across Oklahoma once again see the contrasts, understand who the candidates are, and have a chance to make their voice heard again at the ballot box in November.
And we haven't seen the end of T.W. Shannon either. I think that that's...
Yes.
I mean, I think we can... this is elections into the future, but 4th District... I would put my money on either 4th District or governor in 2018.
Certainly following like J.C. Watts, and if Tom Cole ever decides to resign, I'm sure T.W.
Exactly, yeah.
Be one of those people. Real quickly, I do want to talk about the race to fill James Lankford's congressional seat. Both of them ended in a runoff. Ryan, State Senator Al McCaffrey came in second, facing Tom Guild for the Democratic nomination in August. Were you surprised by those results?
Boy, if there's ever a case for knocking doors and the importance of retail politics, Tom Guild made it on Tuesday night, besting a very popular, relatively well-known state senator and now McCaffrey in that primary to make it into the runoff against Senator McCaffrey. And then you also had a political unknown, Leona Leonard from Seminole, who ran a campaign with virtually no money and zero name ID, who ran a very close third to Senator McCaffrey. If Senator McCaffrey is going to come out of this runoff, he's going to have to really up his game and put some money into that. He's not going to be able to coast through. And Tom Guild, again, has proven that retail politics still matters.
And also the name recognition helped a lot of them as well, because he's done it so many times. Now, on the Republican side, Neva, it ended with State Senator Steve Russell and Corporation Commissioner Patrice Douglas heading to a runoff. They got about a quarter of the vote each, and only about 1,000 votes separated the two. What does it take now to separate yourself from that person as you go into office?
Well, in some ways, it's a very similar scenario to 2010 when Lankford was elected, because when you go back and look at those primary results, you had 7 in the race in 2010 in the Republican primary, 6 this time, and the total number of votes cast were 54,000 2010, about 55,000 this year. So you kind of know what that universe is in the 5th District, the likely Republican voters who actually do go vote, and that becomes the universe that both of these folks are going to have to compete for. Where everyone else lines up in terms of endorsements, there's a little bit of factor to that, and it appears that several of those may be trending toward being endorsements for Patrice Douglas, but you know, none of the official ones have come out yet that I'm aware of. So I think it'll be a real battle, and it'll be an intense ground game once again. And I think what we saw in the closing stretch, and why the last polls that we had any information on that were public, indicated that the top two did in fact become the top two and in the runoff, was that was where the momentum was, and that was where the ground game was.
There we go. And thank you very much. We'll talk more about that as we get closer to the runoffs. Ryan and Neva's comments do not necessarily reflect the views of the ACLU, KOSU, its staff, or management.